Good afternoon, everybody. For a roll call, we have Colonel DeAngelo, Director Bradley Whalen, Captain Gina Burlington. Teams also Tammy Gosha Cockrell, Casey Cook, Pete Rogel, and in the room, we have David Reed, John Rothwell, myself, Nicholas Manistock, Paul Fussy, Scott Nelson, Timothy Woodall, and Rick Rambo. Have I missed anybody?
Scott Sperma.
Didn't see you coming.
Is he not sitting over there? He's in a different chair.
You have a quorum, sir. Everything's ready to go.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Are there any opening statements and other announcements? Hearing nothing
from the room, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We will move on to the approval of the August meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the August minutes, and do you have any requested changes at this time? Would any of the other council members please offer a motion by stating your name and a second by stating your name to approve the August meeting minutes?
Brad Whalen, I make a motion to approve.
Gina Burlington, I will second.
Are there any objections or further discussion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Moving on to old business items. For the State Interoperability Governing Body, this item is still tabled. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any new updates on the SIGB?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No updates. I think that the default is going to come back to this group as far as looking at interoperability governing body. And so I will start to work out how that might look and then bring it to the user committee to bring it up to the executive body. Thank you.
Thank you. For the long-term cost share solution, Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Unfortunately, I do not, sir. Again, no updates to the long-term cost share solution. We have discussed in the past many different ideas. None have stuck. So no updates at this time. Thank you.
Moving on.
Sir, this is Mr. Woodall through the chair. Want to address Mr. Rockwell regarding the State Interoperability Governing Body, if it's okay.
Proceed.
The SIGB is a state board usually governed or appointed by the governor, is that correct?
The original AO by Governor Walker was a state board, so state interoperability, being a state board that the governor, like you pointed out, was going to designate to that, if not expand outside of basically the state, except for it did include two ad hoc members. And therefore, it was state-centric, as you're pointing out. If we can put it under the ALMR executive structure, then we could truly look at it as a statewide interoperability governing body.
Does the governor, my understanding from the Department of Homeland Security, where that originates, that SIGB concept, originates, will the governor have to appoint the executive council to operate as a SIGB, or is that something that the executive council can motion and do on their own. I'm just trying to inform the players here.
Thank you, sir. And again, through the chair, appreciate the time. The executive body has the ability to create ad hoc, or is it councils or ad hoc committees? Ad hoc committees. My vision is one of these ad hoc committees could, for not a better word, represent what that concept of the city. So therefore, it would not be a governor sponsored, governor led committee. It would be through the ALMR Executive Council.
But would be performing the role of a city.
It would have some minimal limitations that the traditional SIGBI would have. You know, for example, a SIGBI includes an ad hoc GIS committee, which the ALMR Executive Council would not be able to perform. So there's some, you know, nuances like that. But as far as looking at everything from interoperable communications, whether it has to do with spectrums or whether it has to do with licenses or whether it has to do with direction, I believe that an ad hoc committee out of the Executive Council could suffice.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay. Moving on. Mr. Woodall, are there any updates on the intergovernmental support agreement?
Yes, the Army has, previously the Air Force had approved the authorized the Air Force installations in Alaska that were ALMR member agencies to enter into an intergovernmental support agreement with the state of Alaska. The Army had to go through its own process, and it right at the beginning of October had approved that ability. So both the Army and Air Force, ALMR member agencies in the state of Alaska are authorized to enter into an intergovernmental support agreement with the state of Alaska to perform or to receive from the state of Alaska as third-party beneficiaries, meaning they are not signatory to any contract, but they receive services, infrastructure, operations management and infrastructure maintenance services from the state of Alaska. It means that the state of Alaska can contract on their behalf. The state of Alaska can perform services related to operations management and infrastructure maintenance in support of ALMR for DoD installations that operate in that member agency. So where the process now is that the state is reviewing both of those intergovernmental support agreements, and once the state is done with their review, we will then be pushing it through for signature. So we hope that that'll be in the next 2 to 6 weeks. We were hoping the end of the month, but with furlough and certain things like that, I think on the Army side, their coordination got slowed down a little bit. So, but hopefully by the first of December and no later than the end of the year, we would have that inter-service support agreement in place. That inter-service support agreement will require some modifications to some of the ALMR cooperative agreement attachments and addendums, and that will have to go through the user council and executive council to get those changes made in those documents, because those documents are referred to in the IGSA, and we want to make changes in the local documents and not in the IGSA, because it'll be much easier to do it in those documents. I'll turn it over to John if he has any comments with regard to state's timeline. But other than that, that's where we're at.
Thank you, Tim. And through the chair, this is John Rockwell. The documents are currently sitting on my desk as a what we are considering a final draft for review. Since the concept of allowing the state to procure services for the Army and Air Force is a little bit new, we're reviewing the financial structure of how that would work out. There's a, Scott, help me with the term. There's where we have to say we're going to spend this much money. It's not, we don't get it in money, but we have the authority, the Fed Receipt Authority. We have to increase the Fed Receipt Authority to be able to do that. And that's currently being reviewed by our admin officer to see what the ramifications would that be. Also, when I'm done with my review, it will be kind of run through legal for comments before it's the final signature, I believe, by the Commissioner of the Department of Public. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Next is radio inventory. Mr. Fussy, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Yes, I do. So I've been reaching out to everybody like I do every quarter, and we've been getting more subscriber requests in for radios that are being added that are TDMA and for radios to be removed. When I go into my talking points a little bit later, Mr. Chair, I'll go into more detail. We did put out a training video, though, on radio programming, because what we're seeing when we do turn on TDMA talk for the talk groups, not all agencies have their radios properly programmed. So that's the one issue we're running into, but we are making headway and progress with the larger agencies, of course, to have the radios over to TDMA. The small agencies are still looking for money, and that's going to be a struggle for them in the near future. That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Next is the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDA. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. We have put out the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDA in a request for proposal. We have had multiple questions, and so therefore we're going to be extending the date for response. And I don't have the date in front of me, I apologize. It will be within the next couple weeks that we'll have the responders get back to us, and therefore we'll be doing a notice to proceed within a couple weeks after that. So looking at the timeline, we will be moving forward with it by the end of the year.
Okay. Next is the Motorola Operations Services contract. Mr. Stormo, do you have any updates on this?
We've met with one of the current providers, and we have a meeting on November 6th or November 7th with Motorola. Is going to be up here for a few hours to give us a proposal. It's not a for sale proposal, but a proposal to kind of discuss the budgetary and what their offerings currently are. We did meet with them in the last couple of weeks where they presented their current cyber offerings, which are different than what we have under the current contract. What we have under the current contract is only partially available. The patching part, not the monitoring part, security monitoring doesn't exist anymore. For sale from Motorola, it's a managed detect and response is their offering now. On November 6th, we expect to see some initial pricing for that, and that will kind of begin the discussion and dialogue with them for a follow-on contract. Is there any questions?
No questions. The final item of old business is the Tudor Road electrical work. Mr. Stormo, do you have any updates on this?
That has finally been successfully completed. Like all good projects that started off with something little, it turned into something much bigger, and we ended up with a modernized transformer installed by Chugach Electric, and have good commercial power service to this building. We didn't have any hiccups during the cutover. The building ran fine on batteries and generators while we had lost commercial power for the short time during the cutover. Everything is working fine.
Thank you.
That is complete at this point.
Does anyone have any questions or comments on any of the old business items?
Through the chair, Mr. Stormo, since line item G or Gulf, Tudor Road electrical work is completed, is it safe to say that that can be removed?
It is. It can be removed.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. Do you have any reservations of removing item G or Gulf from the old business?
No objections.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Having completed the old business, I'm sorry if I mess up these names. Mr. Nelson or Ms. Scaglia Cockrell, would you please update us on the user council?
Hello, Mr. Chair. This is Scott Nelson. I only have two items. We are still seeking alternate members for Southeast and federal non-DOD Department of Interior representatives. Again, those are alternates. Second item is we've been, you know, talking about what we needed to do or what we should do regarding some members who have been absent, you know, for chronically, you know, for more than 5 months. The decision has been to send a memo to them regarding, reminding them of their membership obligations. So that's all I have, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Are there any questions for Scott at this point? Mr. Fussy, would you please provide the OMO update?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you just grant me one thing, Mr. Chair. For our roll call, who is 907-242-5590 for Ms. Mary?
That's Trig Erickson, municipality.
Through the chair, thank you, Trig. So, everyone, so I'll start out with the operations management office. We'll talk about training and outreach. So Mr. Dan Nelson has posted a TDMA programming training video. That started out, and I'll get into a little bit more detail, when we started turning on TDMA for some groups, there were some programming issues. So we recommend everybody take a look at that, especially with their radios. And currently there are 42 training videos broken down into 5 categories on our website. All membership agreements have been signed, finalized, and they've been sent back to member agencies, so that is now completed. Usually we're working on this, Mary is, until November, December timeframe, so it's very encouraging to have everything done and completed at this time of the year. I did attend the Alaska Digital Government Summit that was held in Anchorage on 9 October. Some of the key themes were cybersecurity, digital transformation, AI implementation, and data governance. So I met with several agencies after that for the city and the feds on FedRAMP and how it affects some of the other folks for their radios and what systems they want to use. So it was really productive on that one. Security team completed their inspection of the ALMR system. The ALMR newsletter was sent out on 15 October, so the hard copies were mailed out. Mary posted it on the website and emailed it out to everyone on the website, on the group there for the user council and executive council, and then hard copies were mailed out to the constituents in Washington, D.C. I have been attending the monthly APO meetings. That's Alaska Police Officers Association. So we've had a really good discussion and guest speakers from WISN and from also from APD on there and some of their drone calls. So it's very, very good briefings on there. I have been sending out emails to the agencies regarding their subscriber numbers. So everyone remembers, we're allowed 33,000 subscriber units on the system. And when I get into the metrics here in a little bit, you'll see that we went over that number. I've been extremely proactive, sending out emails to other organizations and groups to remove those numbers and radios are not using, and we are now below that number. So I'm glad everyone sending out those subscriber requests on there. This is similar to what Mr. Rockwell was talking about with the BDAs and the DAS systems. So I attended the BDA DAS seminar. It was sponsored by the Safer Building Coalition in Anchorage on 25 September with Mr. Stormo. There was also other representatives out there. But the focus was on the changes to the NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Codes, and IFC, which is International Fire Council Building Codes. So I compiled my notes, made a PowerPoint on that, and I sent it out to the state and local fire marshals. So the Safer Building Coalition has submitted several changes that they want for the BDAs and DAS systems to get more control on them. So that'll be interesting if they do get approved. We'll know here after a while. Mary is working on the renewal for the ALMR website. That's completed every 3 years, so Watson Associates is working on that one. The cost share amounts, all of them have been submitted to Terry except for two, which are scheduled for payment after the government shutdown is completed. So it's really nice to have that. So that's always a little stressful to have that money out there not being paid. So I appreciate everyone turning all that money into Terry. Myself and Nick and his team, we worked with the Madison Borough Radio Shop, and we turned on TDMA for all their talk groups, and we haven't heard any issues with them. So Zach McCray and his team and Casey Cook, we worked with them. We've been monitoring it on our zone control board. We can see they're talking in TDMA, so that's been very encouraging of that one. And then we worked with Jim Goodman, and we turned TDMA on for all the talk groups for the city of Palmer PD. So we've been watching that one. So it's been very encouraging on there, which is helping out reducing the amount of busies on there. So there are a large number of the agencies for the Madison Borough are now TDMA. So been very encouraging that one. We got a request from the AWARN team. So myself, Nick, and Patrick Thornton from Scott's office went and had a meeting with the UA police chief and their lead dispatcher to talk and discuss about installing a BDA at their Madison Borough campus and other radio options. So the UA police, they operate in 7800 megahertz on the AWARN system because their major backup is APD. However, they've been tasked with putting officers out in these small satellite campuses, i.e. the one out in Madison Borough, which is at the very extent of the range for 7800 megahertz. So they don't have any issues outside the buildings, but inside the buildings, they don't have any radio communications. So we talked with them about the BDA systems for that campus and also possibly a multi-band radio, which is VHF, and 7800 megahertz. So that was a very productive meeting we had with them. On the project static update, September 8th, the generator and backup system was tested at the Zone 2 master site. No interruptions to the ALMR were observed. We didn't get any complaints from any of our users up there. We're still meeting regularly with Motorola regarding closing out the upgrade project, similar to what Mr. Stromo talked about earlier. And the FY27 OMO SMO operating budget document was completed, approved by the User Council and Executive Council and that was submitted to Mr. Stormo. Are there any questions before I go to the metrics? All right, Mr. Chair, we'll go to the metrics. So the monthly group and individual calls for September, we had 1,541,849. The monthly push-to-talks were 2,455,615. And the busies were 364. And the sites below 3.9s, there were 6 of them. And as you can see, there were some power issues with Hill 3265 and Quarry Hill. Those two sites are connected. And then we also have commercial circuit issues at High Mountain, Pillar Mountain, Sunny Hay, and Woman's Bay. Are there any questions on those before I go to the subscriber counts?
Has those been resolved?
Yes. Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, yes, those have been resolved.
Thank you.
So everyone, if we start looking at our subscriber counts by the agencies, so state of Alaska for zone 1 and zone 2, and then, of course, zone 4, that's the municipality of Anchorage, and that's the 7800 megahertz, and so they are only on zone 4. And if you look at the August number, which was 33,036, we exceeded our 33,000 amount. I've basically been extremely proactive talking to individuals, sending emails out. Thank you to Nick and his team for getting me the Excel spreadsheet. And that way I can break down and let people know what radios haven't been on the system for at least 3 years, plus there are other radios. And I'm encouraging them, if they haven't used them in a while, to turn them on, put them to an ALMR channel, press the push to talk, or key them up, however, which agency wants to use the terminology, and we've been working on that one. A lot of subscriber requests have come in, and that number has dropped back down to 32,812. So we're still working on that. I've got some more agencies to talk to. And then with that, then I start talking to Articom and Procom. They do a lot of the NREVL, because those three companies do a lot of programming for the other agencies for their radios and helping to turn in subscriber requests on that one. So very pleased that we're down below that number. I still have a lot of work to do, but that's where we're at for that one, Mr. Chair. Any questions on the metrics? Okay, Mr. Chair, I'll go to the other items. On our website, we're up 12%, and that's very encouraging because when I'm talking to all these agencies, I've been directing them to the website for the training videos, the approved equipment. We were talking to a couple other agencies that are looking to buy the new TDMA radios, so we walked them through which equipment's been approved and what the hyperlinks are and stuff like that. So that's very encouraging. We're getting more use out of our website. As Mr. Nelson mentioned earlier, we do have a looking for some folks for the user council. However, we do have a possible Alaska Municipal League representative for the executive council. We're waiting to receive a nomination letter from that individual. Mary's working with that one. I did travel up to the Zone 2 master site in Fairbanks from September 15th to the 17th. I conducted my inspection of the backups and maintenance of the system. I do that here in the Zone 1 monthly. Zone 2, I get up there twice a year, making sure that the KMF backups are being done, the NAS backups are being done. While I was up there, I did deliver the external hard drive to the Motorola technician to use for the NAS external backups. And during policies and procedures, that's to be done weekly, but we brought up another external backup hard drive for them so they can do that one. During my trip to Fairbanks, I met with members of different agencies in person, Fairbanks Fire Department, University of Alaska Fairbanks Fire Department and Police Department, Tri-Valley Volunteer Fire Department in Healy, and Anderson Volunteer Fire Department. And what I alluded to earlier, while I was meeting with the Tri-Valley and Anderson chiefs, went, looked at their radios, talked to them about their programming, and Nick and I, we did turn on TDMA for their Denali Borough Fire Talk Group. We did some testing while I was up there at Anderson. The radios worked really well with TDMA. Nick could see that they were transmitting in TDMA. However, one of their major backup groups called Nick the next day, and they were unable to talk to them. They were unable to hear Fairbanks dispatch. And that's where we found out Nick did a phenomenal job walking them through that they programmed their radios wrong for TDMA. And so we had to turn TDMA back off for them. And we're working with that agency now. They're almost done reprogramming their radios. So once their radios have been programmed correctly, we'll turn TDMA back on for those groups. I'm also working with Capital City Transit and to turn TDMA on for their radios. They are on ALMR. All their radios are TDMA compliant. So hopefully, due to the holiday tomorrow, by Monday or Tuesday next week, we'll have TDMA turned on for Capital Transit. I did attend the Juneau flooding after action report in September, and I did answer some ALMR radio questions on there. We didn't see any spike in busies or other issues during the flooding, and our ALMR towers were not in the flood zone. The AFN, or Alaska Federation Native Convention, is being held right now in Anchorage, 16th through the 18th. And then also the International Association of Chiefs of Police, IACP, that's going to be in Denver coming up October 18th to the 21st. And then the my parting thing on here for the user council is October was beginning of the annual election process for the user council chair and vice chair positions. So Mary is working with the individuals for nominations, and then the voting occurs in November. So that's all I have. Pending any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Paul on any of these items? Does anyone have any new business items they would like to offer up for the good of the group?
This is Mr. Woodall through the chair. I have two items. One relates to a look at the system from a cyber perspective that was conducted. There were a number of findings. Those findings are being examined and rectified through a POAM process, through the risk management framework perspective. Was good. So we were able to secure the system a little tighter than it was before. So that's a good thing. The second thing, I know that we had brought that up to you, that was going to be looked at. I wanted to close that out, so this is not a new item. It's just a update and a closeout on that cyber look. The second thing is that Mr. Stormo and I have been dealing with the tower issues on the DoD installations. The state of Alaska has, through the frequency sharing agreement that the National Telecommunications Information Administration, through the U.S. Department of Commerce and the Federal Communications Commission, signed, authorizes the state of Alaska to put frequencies on DoD towers. Typically, the FCC requires that when you put frequencies on a tower, that tower is registered. Under the federal rules for spectrum management, tower registration isn't necessarily enforced. And Mr. Stormo had been working some time with the Public Works and CE organizations on the installations, trying to get them to register those towers. So that's not going to happen. So we have worked out an agreement that DOD will do a memo stating that we are the owners of the towers and that the state of Alaska has authorization through a FCC waiver to operate the frequencies on those towers, but they are not the owner of the tower. And that becomes important because if other agencies want to put things on the tower, they have been calling the state. If a tower light is out and it's inspected, they're expecting the state to repair the tower instead of the owner of the tower. So so we will get that resolved. And that's just for information. Anything to add with that, Scott?
No, they're still going to look in the antenna structuring registration database as belonging to the state of Alaska, but we will have documentation to explain what, you know, this gray area that we live in by having this combined system. So if GCI or somebody wants to put cellular equipment on one of those towers, the rules say they've got to be engaging with us to put it on that tower, but we'll have an explanation as to why they need to go to the right people, and we'll know who the right people are. So.
That's all I have. Pending any questions?
Nothing heard. The next meeting is scheduled for January 15th, 2026. Please check your calendars and let Mary know if you have any conflicts. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer at this time? At this time, I'll accept a motion and then a second from any of the council members to adjourn the meeting.
Brad Whalen, motion to adjourn.
And Gina Burrington, I will second.
Meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Okay.